last month. So it's good, because what we're going to do tonight is to go deeper. I wasn't expecting to go deeper than last time. What happened was we had our shiur. The question was chronic pain in halacha. How can we treat it? And I gave an approach, which I'll summarize briefly in a second, just to get us back in the frame of mind. And then Rav Asher Weiss came to town. And I was excited about it. I just gave him the shiur. I thought we had a good approach going. And I spent some time with him. And I said, what do you think about this approach? And he said, no. Basically. And he was like, here, let me tell you how to do this. And that's what we're going to do tonight. In fact, what we're going to read tonight, we won't read the whole thing, I'll take out pieces. He wrote a tshuva on this topic. He just hasn't published it yet. And I said, any chance I can get that tshuva? So he said, yeah, I'll send it to you. So he sent it to me. I took out some of the relevant pieces. It's still not published. I asked him, is it going to be published? And he said, I don't know, we'll see. So
it's still warm.
It's still warm. Hot off the press, literally. Yeah. So let me just do a quick two-minute review of where we are, and then I'll tell you what his critique was, and then I'll show you this approach, which is a radical. I mean, it's just very interesting and very paradigm shifting, and I'll explain why and a few interesting things about it. So the question was, can someone be mechallel Shabbos to treat pain? Not life-threatening pain. Someone has a chronic pain issue, and they're suffering. The specific question I was asked was about someone who is literally keeled over in pain and would just day after day be in pain, laying in pain, until they could be treated by their pain doctor. Could that doctor drive on Shabbos to see that patient? We know normally to save a life, obviously a doctor can drive. But is this considered, especially when it's someone who's not going to die from that pain? It's just that they suffer from chronic pain. So what we said last time was that there, everywhere I looked that I could find someone discussing this issue, they said it's a category of a chole she'ein bo sakana. So remember, we had basically four categories. Chole she'yesh bo sakana, someone's dangerously ill, you've been mechallel Shabbos, whatever you need to do, save a life. Then we had the lowest was mechush ba'alma, someone who's just in a little minor pain. Then you can do almost nothing, can't even take medication for that pain. A middle category was chole she'ein bo sakana, someone who is nafal mishkav, they have to lay down, or it's chole kol aguf, it's systemic, their whole body is in pain. For that person, you could violate a rabbinic prohibition. So if you ask someone who's not Jewish, if you needed to go to the hospital, you could take an Uber, but you couldn't do, you couldn't violate a mitzvah deraisa. Then we saw that there was a tremendous amount of compassion in rabbinic sources for people suffering from pain. And we looked at some of that, and it was really showing compassion, but it was still have to apply it. Then we saw one approach was the Shevet Halevi, where Vosner said we had another category called a Maka Shel Chalal. Maka Shel Chalal is an internal injury, some kind of internal problem. And he said for a Maka Shel Chalal, there was one opinion, let's put all these there first. There was one opinion that for a Maka Shel Chalal, an internal deficiency, malady, someone could do whatever they would do during the week. You could do it on Shabbos. But then there was another opinion in the Shulchan Aruch that, well, not necessarily. It only has to be if we're certain that it's very serious, if it's a minor. It was kind of like questioning that. But Rav Vosner, the Shevet Halevi, said, I think in this case, for chronic pain, you could do whatever you would do during the week, you could do it on Shabbos. Then we saw the opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who said, well, also chronic pain could become very serious. And it could be life-threatening, theoretically, therefore it could be mechallel Shabbos. So I told Rav Asher Weiss this. All I did was summarize last week so far, so you didn't miss anything. So I told Rav Asher Weiss this approach, and I said, do you agree with this? And he said, no, I don't agree. First of all, I asked him about the question in general, and he says, definitely they can drive on Shabbos. If someone says they can't drive to help someone on Shabbos, to someone who's chronically ill, they don't properly respect the severity of chronic pain. It's a big deal, chronic pain, and we need to respect how serious it is. So I said, so I shared with them this approach. I said, I don't agree. I said, I know that tshuva of the Shevet Halevi, I don't agree that it is a maka shel chalal. Because he said, someone could easily critique that and say, every illness is an internal illness. And we don't say, it would just undo the whole system. You can't just say everything's a maka shel chalal and therefore you can do whatever you want, whatever you do during the week. You just do it during Shabbos. He didn't feel like it was rigorous enough. So he said, I have a totally different approach. And he explained it to me, and that's what I'll read now. Okay? So he has 2 points in this tshuva. I think it's worthwhile to read both points, even though the first point is a little bit tangential. The question he was asked was about a child who had a severe pain in a limb, and they could theoretically lose the limb. And technically, the halacha is, technically, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, as we looked at last week, sakanas eiver, limb, the possibility of losing a limb, is not mechala shabbos. You can't be mechala shabbos deraisa for a limb. That was what we had said. Even though the poskim end up saying, well, there's a chance you're going to end up being, it's going to be life-threatening, or it could be worse. So in practice, we do violate Shabbos to save a limb, but the halacha is that you don't. On a deraisa level, on a Torah level. So he was asked this question. He says, we need to look into this better, because the way the poskim have dealt with this isn't satisfying to me. He says to me, interesting, as I had this discussion with him, I was telling him, I said, we love your tshuvas. Everyone loves. He has 3 volumes so far of tshuvas that he's published just in the past 5 years or so. I said, we love them. And he said, I feel an obligation to write them. Because what he said to me is, no one's saying anything new anymore. He says, people just quote other people. They just summarize. He says, I have an obligation to say new things. I'm trying to be mechadesh and give new ideas and new ways of looking at the sources. And someone needs to do it. Because he said to me, since Rav Moshe Feinstein or Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, no one's doing it anymore. And so he intentionally says to himself, I need to think outside the box, which is why he comes up with such interesting ideas. All within the context of Yiras Shamayim and a sense of Kovod Rosh and respect for the tradition, but also recognizing that it has to be, hafachba dekulaba. We have to look, So this is what happens here. He says, I don't like the way the postgame have dealt with this in the past. Let's see if we try another approach. We're going to deal with that. We'll kind of look at some of it. And then he's going to come to specifically our question. And I think once we see it in the context, we'll realize the brilliance and the potential radicalness. I don't mean radical in a negative way, just like, wow, when you see his approach. I don't want to build it up too much. But okay, so let's read. So I wrote here, Shut Minchas Asher, even though it's not technically published in Minchas Asher yet. That's why I wrote a Dayan Lod Minfas. But it's a Shaila Tshuva from the Minchas Asher that he wrote to somebody and that he sent to me. And I don't know if I have permission to send it to somebody else, but I think I have permission to learn it from you tonight. So you're very lucky people. So he says, in talking about the concept of saving someone's limb, he quotes Hagos Mordechai and Shabbos, Evia Shitas Rabbeinu Hari, Barim Shlomo, one of the Balei Tosfos, Decholosh Omer Tzarechani, There's a concept, which we're going to come back to, of a patient on Yom Kippur who says, I need to eat. I need to eat. So here's the first quote of it, what Rabbi Natan says. Rabbi Natan nechalek alav, v'hor halacha l'maisa, lehetra v'zeh l'shono. He says you could violate Shabbos, according to Rabbi Natan, for a limb. Remember, the Shulchan Aruch is not going to say that, but Rabbi Natan says you could for a limb. Why? He says, "V'chi chole cholim nevim heim or bekim heim." How does the chole know that they need it? They're a prophet or they're a doctor. Ach, kiven sheyodea chole or achaya shehu Shabbos or Yom Kippurim. But since they know that it's Shabbos or it's Yom Kippur, they know the severity, and nevertheless, Omer tzarich ve'enu yachol lispo machmas chole. I can't manage. I can't deal with this. I need to do something about it. If they said that, even though they know that it's Yom Kippur, even if they think they're not in danger, but they think they need it, we should feed them, according to Rabbeinu Tam.
Like the blind person on Shabbos who wants the light on?
Yeah, we talked about that last night. The woman giving birth, yeah. And she needs the light, and we put it on for her to comfort her. Right, yes, exactly. Excellent, I think we're going to even mention that. He says, "Shehechem etzina b'sakana l'neshichas kelev shota lamos or kehi de Rav Ashi Mar Zutra." That was the case where Mar Zutra Rav Ashi took the king's food to feed Mar Zutra because he was starving, even though he knew that he could get killed for stealing the king's food. But he said, "I need to do it because I need to feed him." So that was the case. V'afal pisha rov kol imachayim, even though most people are sick, end up living. Hekila b'pikucham misafek v'chein b'tir fadas. This is what you're referring to. We are makil when it comes to a suffix of their life or for tirf hadas, mental anguish. We can be lenient if they say that they need it, even though they don't really know. And maybe we know that they're wrong. we can provide it for them based on their sense of their need. The chola is afraid. And so we know that if they ask and they say, I know it's Yom Kippur, but I need food, then so you can feed them or give them beverages. Because the lack of food causes them emotional suffering. They can become sick from that, and they can even get so sick that they don't recover. So someone who feels that they need to eat, we can feed them. Here's the point that he's getting to. That's what he put in bold. Even when it comes to losing a limb, I, Rabbeinu Tam, he's quoting here, I call this a danger. And you can violate Shabbos for a limb. As we said with an internal injury, even though they mostly don't die from this, so too. Pregnant women, on a rowing, mesos in the we said that they usually don't die giving birth, but we are allowed to feed them. Any problem with the body or a limb, the ubar sekanahu, this is considered dangerous. As we know from the concepts of bloodletting and pregnant women, that we can light a torch for them on Shabbos, even when it's warm out. Even though they don't think they're going to die, b'kach, v'im shmul rofa hayagam kim chachamim yadu, b'rafus k'sas amru lev yodea maras nafsho. Because we have a concept that a person's heart knows their own suffering. Lev yodea maras nafsho. This is going to be important. Our heart knows what we're feeling. And if someone says, you know, Rabbi, I know it's Yom Kippur, and we assume, which is true, really, I can tell you from my experience in the hospital, people, for the most part, take Yom Kippur seriously. I myself have had people ask me questions like, do I have to fast? And I look into it, you know, you don't really have to fast. And they usually push back. And they say, no, what do you mean? I can't imagine not fasting. You know, sometimes as a rabbi, I find people like want a heter, you know, people want permission. But oftentimes when it comes to Yom Kippur, in general, I find people feel really guilty about eating on Yom Kippur. They want to fast on Yom Kippur if they can. And he's saying, but if they know it's Yom Kippur, but Lev Yodea Marash Nafsho, and they know, but you know what, I'm suffering. I'm really suffering. And so therefore they ask, then we let. That's Rabbeinu Tam. And that was in the discussion about a limb. Okay? But this is going to get... And then he quotes other poskim who disagree. And then he says here, this is just an important analysis of that. See where he says the next paragraph? Achabach. So the Ravya, he says, disagrees with that Rabbeinu Tam, and says, nope, you can't do this for a limb. But the Bach, commentary on the Torah, says, Kasa the Pashut She'en Kavanas Rabbeinu Tam Lahakel Afim Makom She'en Sakanas Nefashos. He says, no, he wasn't being lenient, even if there's no danger to life. Does a Pashut She'en Makom Lahakel Bechil HaShabbos K'she'en Pekot Nefesh? The Bach says, if someone's not going to die, you can't be lenient. Obviously, it must be, this is the Bach, we're not Rav Asher Weiss yet, he's quoting this, but Ela Kavanaso De'af Shalom Nafal LeMishkav, he's just saying, even though they haven't actually fallen in bed, like they can't, they're still able to stand. And their illness is not their whole body yet. But there just is in, it's just in one organ or one limb. Since one limb could lead to danger, then we can put them in the category of cholish ein bo sakana. We could be mechal Shabbos for them. But even though they're not quite, you know, as ill as we normally say, but he's not saying that. You can be so lenient if there's no danger. It must be that it's going to lead to danger. There's some kind of, it's one type of danger that we can put in the category of someone who has to lay down. That's what he says. But Rav Asher Weiss says, I don't agree with the Bach of his commentary on Rabbeinu Tam. Rather, Rav Asher Weiss says, he says, if that was true, what the Bach says, yesh kan sakanas nefashos, maravusa yesh b'mashalo nafla mishkav. What is it adding to us here? Just because he's not laying in bed because of this? What did it add if you're admitting that it must be a case where there's a danger? V'halo b'chol inyan v'ofen sheyesh chashash sakana mechal in Shabbos. No, in any case where there is danger, we would be mechal Shabbos. So what do you mean, Bach, by saying that it must be there's danger here? No, v'lav dafka v'chola, ela af b'chios ra'os v'listim v'dleika b'chol davar. Anytime when it comes to, you know, when we're afraid of bandits or robbers or, you know, or wild animals, the ein ravusa klal, did I skip one? No, v'ein ravusa klal b'mashim b'chalayin shabbos b'sakanas eiver, shesh b'sakanas nefashos. It's just by saying that for save a limb, you can be m'chal shabbos, didn't add anything. It must be Meshum Kane near Yosef Bekvanash Rina Tom. It must be Russia Y says Shemaduber Besakanas Aver Shaim Bosakanas Nefashos. It must be a case where there's a danger of losing a limb, but there's certainty that you won't die. Whatever you can think of a case that would be. Where someone could lose a limb, but they won't die from it. And he's saying, even then, even though they won't die, they'll lose a limb, but not die, even then, according to Rabbeinu Tom, they could be Mechala Shabbos. To save a limb, even though it's not saving life. That's point number one. We're not dealing with pain yet, but you're going to see in a second, it's going to take the next step.
Why would they think losing a limb is not such a serious thing? Well,
this came up last time. That was a lower category than the
rest of life. That's halakha. Halakha is it's a lower category.
That was category two.
It could happen. They could lose a limb without dying.
I mean, gangrenous limb or something.
I understand that. But I mean, if it comes out on Shabbos, that's when you have to have the limb removed or whatever you have to do.
Well, it's really just to prevent further, let's say. It would mean just, you know, to care for the person. Or
it just seems like a pretty
radical thing. That's kind of why the halacha has
gone that way.
Become today that the postgame do allow fill a Shabbos for a limb. Because it's probably something that most people can't bear to. In fact, that's what he writes in the Tshuva elsewhere. He says many people can't. It's, you know, we have concepts of gezeira she'ein rova tzibur yichol la modaba. You can't make a rule that people can't bear. And he says, I'm stuck because the Shulchan Aruch says you can't be mechal Shabbos to save a limb. But people can't hold themselves back from going to the hospital to save a limb. So I need to find a way. He's not saying I want to make up new halacha, but he's saying there must be a way to justify this, what people are doing, and to understand that it is a lot. It's not a problem. Not even a workaround, it's sort of just like there's got to be another way to view this, that we take the severity of this and we recognize the halacha, but we also have kind of a limud schus or some kind of a, you know, paradigm that allows people to seek medical treatment for a limb on Shabbos. So this is what he's arguing here, that Rabbeinu Tam seems to say that even if you won't lose your life, you could. He goes on to basically say that, you know, it's a problem, though, because Rabbeinu Tam says this, but the most supposed to disagree with him. So probably Rabbeinu Tam is not enough there. Anyways, that's one point. But now I want to turn to our main point. And this is where I really want to focus, it's not going to take us long, but just for a few minutes to look at the next page now. You see where I put the dot, dot, dot? That's where he then goes to our issue. He kind of like, this issue leads him to that issue, and this is where he gives a whole new paradigm shift. But I think that what we just read was important as background. You see where he's going, you see what he's talking about, and now comes our question. Can you violate Shabbos to relieve pain? Pain that's not life-threatening. We just talked about a limb that's not life-threatening. What about pain that you won't die if the pain isn't treated, but you'll be suffering horrible, intractable pain? Could you be Mechal Shabbos? As we said last week, most poskim said it's a chola she'ein bo sakana, and therefore you can't be Mechal Shabbos on an Isser Deraisa, though we saw that some poskim said you could. And now, what does Rav Asher Y say about this? Is a totally new approach. When this gets published, I think it's going to become a landmark tshuva. It was interesting. We had a session with rabbis in town, with Rav Asher Y, and just a few rabbis, just like 5-6 rabbis, real rabbis, and I was sitting there too. It was very awkward. And at one point, someone asked him a question, and I say this in praise. I refresh by someone I look up to very much. God forbid, I mean, this was, I thought this was just, I loved it when he said this. Someone asked him a question, and he goes, oh, there's a very important landmark tshuva on that topic. It's very important. It's in Shabbos and Shuvah's Minchas Asher Chelik Beis. He didn't crack a smile. He wasn't joking. It was he wrote it. But he was happy to say it was a landmark tshuva. And he was talking about what he wrote. But he was right. So I think this is going to be, as you're going to see in a second, this is a landmark tshuva because it's a new way of thinking of something, a paradigm shift, a total. And to be honest, when I read this, as I'll see what you say, I thought, I can't believe no one said this before because it makes so much sense. Okay, here's what he says. Okay, see the three dots there, third paragraph? So he says, torsion of the testicle, some kind of horrible testicular pain. Tofa zugoremet ka'evim azim. This causes horrific pain. It's unbearable pain. And it's talking about a child. That was a mother of the child who had asked this question. This child is suffering horribly. And it's Shabbos. And the mother's watching her son, you know, just roll on the floor in pain, right? He says, Ulani estaiti, hareze mamesh din chole omer tzarich ani. This is the category of tzarich ani. Rav Ashmar said to me, stop thinking about chole sheyesh basakana, chole sheein basakana, nechush ba'alma. That was how I was trying to categorize it. And that's how most posts can categorize. Which category did you put in? He said, nope. Wrong section of Shulchan Aruch. Switch to Hilchos Yom Kippur. And we have this concept of Tzarich Ani, right? Let's read what he says. Shemachilos Rabbi Yom Kippur. You could feed someone Yom Kippur if they say, I need. And you can violate Shabbos for them. And there is a machlokas on this. Ha'im Tzarich Ani. If the concept of Tzarich Ani is there rak kishayachol la'omer she'im lo yachilu yamus, is it only if they say, if I don't eat, I will die? Oh, is it bechol inyan she'omer tzarich ani dina kachol shish basakana? Or is it anytime they say I need, that's considered chol shish basakana? So the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, which we saw before, which was a minority opinion that time, the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam is come over the other we saw before is bechol shish basakana. There's three different places we saw it: bagos Maimonides, bagos Mordechai, etc. De'ena chola lo navi v'lo baki lomer she'im lo yochal yomus. Remember he said that? They don't know. The chola doesn't know for sure. They're not a doctor. They're not an expert. They're not a prophet. V'af shelegabe ma she'amar Rabbeinu Tam. But what Rabbeinu Tam said, de'gam al de'avon ever echad, over losing a limb, mechalin alav es ha'shabes, ena lacha kamosu. There we said it's not like him. That to save a limb, you can violate Shabbos. That's what Rabbeinu Tam said. But the halacha doesn't follow him. But in this case, legabe din sarichani, Nira to Alecha Kamosu. We do follow Rabbeinu Tam. What did Rabbeinu Tam say? He said, first is just proof. Kach Nira Mistima Saposkim, Dimechola or a Yeledes, if a sick person or a woman giving birth, Omer Tzarechani, if they say, I need a Yom Kippur, Machilinosan, we feed them. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. Let's actually read the quote from the Code of Jewish Law, from the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Yom Kippur on Tzarechani. And this is a fascinating analysis he gives on it. So here's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Let's read it inside. Chole tzarich lechol. A sick person on Yom Kippur has to eat. Im yesh sham rofe baki. If there's an expert doctor there, afilu ove kochavim, whether they're Jewish or not, sheomer im lo yachilu oso efchar sheyachbid alav achol aviyistakein. And the doctor says if they don't eat, it will get worse, and they'll be in danger. And in fact, some poskim say even if they won't get worse that day, they might get worse months or even years later, that actually counts. You would eat on Yom Kippur to prevent them from getting worse later. That's my focus, but that is Rav Zilberstein's opinion. Anyways, if the doctor says, and they're expert, if you don't eat, it's going to be dangerous, then halacha is, machilin osoa piv. You listen to the doctor and you feed them. Ve'ein tzarech lomer shema yamos. Even if they won't die as a result, but they'll be in danger. Afili machol omer eino tzarech. And even if the sick person says, I don't need to eat, I'm fine. Shomim lerofe. You need to tell them, listen to the doctor. That's what they do in Shari Tzedek. Before Yom Kippur, they go around and they go to each person with the rabbi and with doctors, and they determine, they tell people, you fast, you don't fast, you can't fast. You eat in Shirim, and if the doctor says you have to, and the rabbi, you know, then you have to. And now, next case. So first we said, if the doctor says you have to eat, you have to eat. And if the patient says, I need... Afilu meya rofim omrim eino tzarich. You could have 100 doctors who say, no, you don't need to eat. Shomim lechole. You listen to the patient. Leiv yodea maras nafsho. A person knows what they're going through. The doctor might be able to look at blood pressure or whatever, but they don't know what you're experiencing. So the halacha is, if the person says, I need to eat, you eat. Now look at his analysis here. He says, look what we see. Shehari shelegabe harofe. When it came to the doctor, it said a reason. Kasav shima rofe omer im lo yochilo oso efshar sheyachbid alav achol v'yistakein. It gave a reason because it might get worse and then they'll be in danger, and that's why it said machilin oso apiv. Ach b'seifa. But at the end, legabe achola. When it came to the patient, lo kasav ela de'im achola omer tzarichani. It was only because the patient said they need it. The person needs it. It doesn't matter because maybe it'll get worse. No, the fact that they need it was enough. It's not because they might die. The Shulchan Aruch never gave that stipulation. It's not feed the patient because they might die. It was feed the patient because they say, I need. Right? So this is a totally new paradigm. So look what he concludes then. He says, Mishum Kain, near de kasher meduber bekave tofet. What does tofet mean? Inferno. Right? Someone's like in a horrible pain. Ubecholam Ashul Ezra, and they're like needing help. Someone's in so much pain, they need help. Zedin Tsarechani. That should be in the category of Tsarechani, when the person's saying, I need help. Umutar La'avor Bedeoraisa. You can violate a Torah prohibition, Kedei La'azor Uloshia, to help them. Not to cure them. Remember, he said it's not necessarily need to be cured, but it's just to relieve their suffering. Ube'emes Yadu B'darchei Refuah. And we know that when it comes to medicine, Shekeivim Kitzonim Gormim La'afrat Mashmati B'tofek B'lachatz Dam. Okay, we know that pain causes increased blood pressure and heart rate. Ach Ein Harbe Mechkarim Kedei Ligvoa Ketzad Ke'ev Kitzonim M'mshach Mashpi'al Pe'ilos Alev. We don't know exactly why that is. Mikivan Shebederech Klal Metaplim B'sibat Ha'Ke'ev Monino. So usually we deal with symptom management. But this is the category of a patient who says, I need. And once they said, I need, that is enough of a reason to be mechal al Shabbos, to provide for their needs, even if it requires overriding a Torah prohibition. Total paradigm shift. It's a total different way of looking at this. It's based on the needs of the person and trusting that they're suffering.
Last time, the latter part of the discussion did touch upon the idea that when somebody is in tremendous anguish, they will cry out, I wish I were dead. In other words, right. you talked about that last time. In other words, severe pain causes the person to actually prefer that they wish they would die.
Right, but what I didn't do was take the next step, which is, this is the step to take, is that there's actually a halachic category for someone who says that, which is
it's subjective rather than objective.
Yeah, totally.
And it's more than, we're not just permitting them. You're saying you must do it if you say you need it.
Well, if that's what they need, right. If that's what they say they need.
So would that be if somebody had a headache?
No.
I need a Motrin.
No.
It's killing me. My head is killing
me. Okay. Killing you, that's one thing.
But when you feel like you need your tooth pulled.
I'm saying, that you get a pain.
I mean, look, yeah, obviously it can't be that we go so far with this. I mean, the example he gave was of a child who's in intractable pain.
Writhing on the floor.
Writhing on the floor, yeah. Right. So obviously we can't go too far with this.
Right.
There's a limit to it. Right. We have to be responsible about it. But it's interesting because we'll read the last paragraph, the last paragraph right now. When I asked him about this and I asked him about the case, I said, would a doctor be able to drive on Shabbos to care for the patient? If there's no one else, he stipulated, there's no one else who could do it. This is the specialist. They need this doctor. He said, I would say definitely they can drive on Shabbos, in Mechala Shabbos, to care for this patient because of the din of Tzarechani. And when I pushed back a drop and I said, well, some other rabbi, you know, when I looked into it, the other rabbi said you can't. He said they're not properly recognizing the severity of real severe chronic pain. We're not talking about minor pain, but severe chronic pain. It's interesting because when he told me, he was very confident about it. He said, this is what I would say. Halacha lemaisa. Look at how he writes it here, his conclusion. He says, the ainli tonshu yesh the shachek as a ka'eva yidei trufo. The loy l'chal Shabbos. So you might have said, someone else could have asked, another question would have been, we have a concept in halacha of hakal kal tchila. Usually on Shabbos, we always want to do the minimal prohibition. We try not to be mechal Shabbos if possible. That's not true, really, when it comes to sekanos nefashos. When it comes to danger, we always say, you know, just save the life. But in general, still, we try to do the minimal isser, the minimal prohibition. He says, don't just say, though, oh, just give some pain medications, some symptom management, so that I can avoid violating Shabbos. You should be doing for them what we would have done during the week. ולא על ידי מינון מבהיל של משכחי כאבים שגם בהם יש נזק גדול לגוף. Not just do like, sorry? Yeah, or like some sort of like minimal dosages to relieve the pain, but we should actually do whatever is needed, what's the ideal treatment for it, not just kind of like, let's let it go, let's just kind of get through Shabbos. We should deal with it as we would on a weekday. And he gives an example for that, which comes from this run in Yuma Gimel. He says, B'shem Arayvan, D'chol Shetarech Lecho Basar. If someone's sick, and for whatever reason their doctor says, you need to eat meat. So the halacha is, Shochtin lo, you can shecht an animal for them on Shabbos. Ve'machin lo son nevel. You wouldn't say, well, we have non-kosher meat at the store, we can just go get the non-kosher meat. We say, no, you can do what you would do for them during the week, which is shecht an animal. Kivan shai iser omed negdo, eno ela lechilo Shabbos, kivan shabim osachol, hayu shochtin lo. The Ron says, since that's what you do during the week, that's what you can do on Shabbos. You wouldn't have to just go feed them. You can actually give them the meat that they want to eat on Shabbos, and even though, because that's what you do during the week. And then, interestingly, he concludes by saying, V'adayin tzarech iyun b'chol zeh. He concludes in a kind of a humble way, like, maybe he's realizing that this is slightly radical, or maybe he's just being careful, because he wants to kind of soften. He's saying, okay, I might have said something that's very new here, but I'm not sure. When I asked him about it, he was very sure. He said, halacha l'maaseh, this is what you do. But he writes the tshuva. I think this is smart. This is the way poskim write. It's a little bit softer, you know, like, okay, this is what I think is right, but maybe, you know, let me look into it more. But he's comfortable. I know for a fact that he's comfortable with it in reality. But it's interesting that he wrote it that way. Well, let's look into it more. Yeah.
So by chola, there's different gradations. Yesh bosakani, yesh bosakani. By tzarachani.
Yeah.
Are there gradations of tzarachani?
There isn't. But what we recognize is it has to be someone who, in the context of Yiras Shemayim and, you know, Frumkeit, so to speak, that someone who cares about Yom Kippur, even though they care about Yom Kippur, and we know people care about Yom Kippur, is a big deal. And off Al Pi Kain, they would say, I want to eat on Yom Kippur. So it's that level. Once it hits that level, it's Tzarechani. You know what I mean? So we don't have levels of Tzarechani because it's all big level. Once you get to that level, you're Tzarechani. We have to trust our community, so to speak, that people aren't going to just say, well, you know, I really want to see this movie and it came out today, and if I wait till tomorrow, I'm going to be the second one to see it, and Tzarechani, I have to see the movie today on Shabbos. And I would do it, you know, it's like, okay, it'll be ridiculous. It's have to be really something, it's really serious, but we don't have gradations. Yeah.
Yeah, well, sometimes there's been a pushback, like now they're looking for acceptance or confirmation.
What do you mean?
From, let's say, the rabbi, and now the rabbi says you can eat, and then they're like questioning again.
Yeah.
They really don't want to
right.
eat because it's like becomes mental anguish versus
yeah.
physical. You know?
Right.
But with regards to his example of the boy suffering tremendously,
yeah.
as well as the loss of a limb, I mean, I can think of two cases. One I know in the testicular thing.
Yeah.
That's a very serious thing. There's irreversible damage sometimes that can occur that
yeah.
has life-changing consequences down the line, not...
become sterile.
Maybe.
Sure, that's true, but he didn't say that. He didn't need to come on to that.
And with the loss of a limb, if we're talking, let's say, gangrene or that,
yeah.
that can travel to that
absolutely.
Body. It could eventually lead to loss of more than just that one limb,
right.
as well as loss of life if it gets so...
Yeah, but the point is, he's even said, even if we know that it won't get worse,
right.
we still could be, what you're saying is part of the reason why the rabbis today have allowed Chilul Shabbos for the sake of a limb, because of these concerns, and we never know for sure, and you have to get it checked out, but he's saying, even if you have a case where you know that it's not going to get worse, but the suffering is horrific, that's enough.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me more radical than the Tzarechani. The concept of whatever you'd have to do during the week,
uh-huh.
you do on Shabbos. That's
well, it is, but other poskim say that. The Shmir Shabbos says something along those lines. We saw last week the Shevet Alevi said that. Meaning, it's not a new idea. There is such a concept of illness gets to a high enough level. Normally, if it's a low level, we don't do what you do during the week. But if it's a high enough level, we say do what you would do during the week.
Because till now, you're looking on Shabbos. Well, you know, if depending on the gradations.
Right.
And everything.
You're right.
But
hear
if you're saying that, you know what, on Tuesday I would do the surgery. So yeah. That was a Bishabas. I got to do the surgery.
Yeah, but by the way, it's a chumra and a kula. Because part of the question is, let's say you ask a rabbi, you say, you know, I need to go to the emergency room. I need to drive there on Shabbos. And he says, well, if you were at work right now, and you had all your patients coming in and everything, would you go right now, or would you say, you know, I can go tonight, or I can go tomorrow? And if you would say, well, I probably say, yeah, I'll go tomorrow, then you can't go on Shabbos.
Right.
So it's also a chumra, because it's saying, like, you can't just go on Shabbos, because, like, oh, I have a free day, right. So I'll go now, because I have free time.
Right. Right.
So it's a chumra and a kula in that way. But I agree with you that it's a very important point that he's making there. It's just, it's not, to me, a new idea.
Okay.
But the idea of using Tzarech Ani, maybe I just not learned it enough. I don't know if this being used in this context of someone suffering
right.
from chronic pain before. I think this is a new application of this din. And it's an important, and once you read this, it's like, yeah, of course. That's a halacha in the Shulchan Aruch about Yom Kippur. It's a big deal, and it's about patience. It's about illness. It's about, you know, being responsible about it, and it is totally a total
mm-hmm.
paradigm shift in all these issues. Yeah,
I see also the issue in a child who cannot articulate "I need," but they
uh-huh.
are suffering so much, and I think that
good point.
For sure we are sensitive to our children.
Yeah,
and if we don't, the last thing we want to see is a child
mm-hmm.
in such anguish.
Yeah.
And they can't even articulate, I need this, I don't need this, you know, they can't even mentally know, but we can't bear to see that as a parent.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Interesting, no?
Sure.
New way of looking at it, and exclusive, a yik. Thursday night exclusive.
You heard it here first.
So once he writes this and it becomes somewhat accepted or whatever,
well,
how's everyone find out about it?
Yeah, well, we'll have to see. I mean, this is how halacha works. I mean, someone quotes something, someone says something, and then it kind of, we see. Do all the other books start quoting it? All the other rabbis start quoting it? It becomes like part of the system. It's possible. Rav Asher Weiss is someone who is prominent enough that people will hear about this, and they will discuss it, and either they will accept it, and then you start hearing from other rabbis. Like, for example, he wrote about OCD. Since he wrote about OCD, it's in the first volume of his Tshuvas. Actually, maybe it's in the second volume. I think it's in the second volume. Whatever it is, I wrote two tshuvas about it. Now, whenever I hear a rabbi talk about OCD, they quote his tshuva because his approach to it became the precedent setter. Well, there's another word for it, but and then it becomes like a note. This is the approach to dealing with OCD and halacha. So you have to see: is this going to become accepted? Is it going to become quoted often? And 20, 30 years from now, all the books where they just write them, you know, the overviews, will they be all quoting it? I will be. It's going to be on YouTube.
Right.
Yeah. All right.